All right, David Johnson, the highlight reel run in Philadelphia. And as we say, welcome back into the Big Red Rage. Paul Calvisi, Ron Wolfley, and a pleasure to be joined by Cardinals GM Steve Keim. The question is, if a player makes the biggest leap in his NFL career from year one to year two, what is in store for David Johnson going forward, Steve Keim?
Wow, that could be scary. David was a great pick in the third round, and the thing that we saw on tape as a collegiate player, you know, the hands, the ball skills, the ability to run on the perimeter. The one thing that, you know, I felt like if there was anything David could improve was running behind his pads consistently, breaking tackles. And I'll tell you what, he did a fantastic job this year. You know, Stump Mitchell, our running back coach, did a great job coaching David, getting him prepared for the NFL game. Obviously, Chris Johnson was a great signing because he taught him how to be a pro early on in the process. And just going back and looking at some of the things David did on our tape just recently, you know, from a skill set standpoint, it's scary. I mean, the 6'1", 226-pound guy who can bend and make lateral cuts like he does and then have the ball skills and the matchup possibilities out of the backfield. You know, he's truly a three-down back that's got the size and the strength to punish in the run game, and he's got the skill and the athleticism in the passing game, which is scary. And for a guy that's only scratching the surface, like you said, Paulie, it's scary to think about what he could be.
It's really interesting that you mentioned CJ2K, because 2,000 yards for David Johnson, is that a possibility?
Well, you know, I would say this. I don't know that it's a possibility or not, but 2,000 yards pass catching and running.
Cause total yards. When you
think about this, the way he catches the ball to the backfield and the weapon he is as a receiver, I think he could end up being one of the better all-around backs in the NFL when you look at being a complete player, a guy that's not subbed for in third-down situations, a guy that can play every snap and again, can be such a weapon in every phase of the game.
He told me in the Green Bay game, they started with a linebacker on him, then they went with a safety, and by the end of the game, they were double covering him. I mean, defenses had to adjust on the fly this year. Just amazing.
And he did a great job as well with ball security as the season went on. I was a little concerned, I'll be honest with you. A little concerned early on putting the ball on the ground four times. It's not that we lost those fumbles. It doesn't matter to me. You put the ball on the ground four times. But, man, did he do a great job with ball security as the season unfolded.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, and we all know that there's areas to every player's game that they need to improve upon, particularly when they're young guys like that. And that's certainly an area that David needed to improve upon, which was the ball security aspect of it. But, again, the future's bright. For anybody that's gotten to know him as a person, he's a great young man, really articulate, well-spoken, and highly thought of so far in this organization.
You know, Carson Palmer set various team records at the quarterback position this year. Does he have a mental hurdle to overcome? And he pulled out of the Pro Bowl with a finger, all right? So that sort of let us in on maybe the finger was more of a factor than we imagined. But are you curious about his offseason and what you see come training camp from Carson Palmer?
You know, I don't think so. I will say this. When we made the trade for Carson 3 years ago, there was a perception because you're talking about a guy who, you know, sat out a year at Cincinnati, that maybe he was a quitter or whatever the thought was across the country. And after getting to know him for 3 years, I haven't been around many people who are as tough mentally or as competitive as he is. So I have a tremendous amount of confidence in Carson Palmer in every aspect of the game. The thing that, again, I think some people overlook is not only did he have a tremendous year, a top five MVP candidate, coming off an ACL.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one thing you don't think of. Coming off an ACL and not only came off the ACL, became more mobile in the pocket, did some things with his feet and his mobility and escapability that he didn't do previously in his career. So I think Carson Palmer has good football left in him. I'm excited he's our quarterback. When you look around the NFL and you look at the landscape at that position, I think a lot of times, you know, obviously you get more credit when you win and you get a lot of the blame when you lose. When you look around the league and you have 32 teams and probably 12 to 15 of them are looking for him, I'm proud Carson Palmer's our quarterback.
Where are you right now in your draft prep? Where are you?
Our scouts are in right now. We're putting together the back end of our board, the later round picks, the priority free agents. And then we will transition now into the combine, where it's a great process because it's one thing to watch these guys on tape, mm-hmm. but to finally get up close and personal and get to know them as people, to me, it's the most important part of the process.
Is there a strength in this draft, a particular area of depth, perhaps?
You know, I don't think so. Not that I've noticed so far. Again, I'm a little bit behind. I just know there's a lot of good football players, and there's certainly enough that are going to make us better.
You know, Terry McDonough's not banging on your door every day telling you, we got to draft this guy already?
Every 10 minutes.
You know, if you had
He's the reason I have to lock my door sometimes.
Make him go through your assistant.
And if my door's locked, it's a text. I can promise you that.
If you hit zoom out, because of Carson Palmer and his advanced age, are you in a win-now mode? And considering how close you were to the Super Bowl?
Absolutely. Here's the problem. When Carson Palmer retires and Larry Fitzgerald retires, mm-hmm. we're going to be in a win-now mode. The NFL doesn't allow you to not be in a win-now mode.
But does that impact how you structure this roster, for example? Does that impact how, you know, whether you're looking 1 year ahead or 5 years ahead?
I don't think so. I play to win. You know, that's the whole process. I mean, it goes back to building through the draft. I want to build the best players we can through the draft and then supplement in free agency. And now, can you look at it different and say maybe this is their window of time right now because of those guys at their age?
Yeah.
You can look at it that way, but it's not going to affect the way we build this team. It's we expect to win every year. And once those guys retire, we got to make sure we have their replacements in place.
So you're sitting there at number 29 right now, and I realize it's way too early to get into particulars about the draft and what you might do, but I'm going to do it anyways. I'm going to ask you that. Is the possibility there that you might consider saying, you know what, if there's an edge guy, if there's a guy that we really, really like, we're willing to move up. Something you haven't really done in the past. You've always moved down.
Absolutely.
You are. You're all in on that.
If there's a player at any position that we think is a game changer, an organization changer, so to speak, we'll go up and get him. But you know that remains to be seen. Now my philosophy in general is I love acquiring more picks because mm-hmm. it gives you more chances right. to hit. But, again, if there are difference makers, and I don't care if it's the quarterback position, if it's whatever the position may be, if you think that this guy is a game changer, go get him.
Speaking of high picks, DJ Humphries and Jonathan Cooper, how should we view that in the offseason? How legit, how realistic is it that they'll contend for starting spots next year?
Well, our expectations are that they are going to be starters next year. Now, that being said, I can say that to them blue in the face, but it's on them. They're both guys with tremendous talent, yet at the same time, they have to show the consistency, the want to, and the finish to be good players. And they both are as talented as it gets. I mean, they're big, they're long, they're athletic, they got tremendous feet. DJ made great strides this year in practice. He got a little bit bigger. He got better technically, which that was his problem early on, was the technical side of it and the mechanics. And you start to think about DJ, he was just a third-year junior coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So he's a young guy. Now, is that an excuse? No. But, you know, our expectations when we drafted him, it wasn't like we had to have this guy as a starting right tackle or left tackle. We felt like he was a great talent that we could develop with. And then the same goes for – well, Jonathan Cooper, to me, is a little different. I think that his injuries had played a major factor in it, and I think that he's a guy that has to step up and gain the confidence needed to be a great NFL player. Do I think he has a skill set? Absolutely. Now it's on him to show the confidence and the want to be a good player.
Generally speaking, is it still a situation where you want to see – a rookie flash by year three of that rookie contract. Is that an accurate statement?
No doubt. I mean, listen, the pressure in my job, in this organization, in the NFL in general, is not that you want them to play in year three. It's gotten to a point now, if they don't play in year one, they're a bust. At least that's the perception. Now, in year two, if they become a good starter, people mm-hmm. forgot the fact that they labeled that player a bust. But I mean, that's part of the job. That comes with the territory, and that's what I signed up for. So my expectations are hopefully they can play every year, yet at the same time, I'll trust my eyes mm-hmm. and I'll trust my judgment.